This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
See you live off the record with Chicago Online is brought to you by Bahamas Customs, Burger King, Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful, overcast, but beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-429, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. You know, and if you're in the Family Islands, you want to give us a call, you can call us on 242-357-20. That's 242-357-20. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow, channel 612. That's BTC Flow, channel 612. So tonight, the Government and Public Policy Institute was supposed to entertain a lecture by the Governor General of the Bahamas, His Excellency, the Most Honorable Sir Cornelius A. Smith. Regrettably, the Governor General is not well, and therefore is unable to make that event tonight. And so it's going to be rescheduled for another date. And so I ask you all to pray for His Excellency's recovery. And we'll get back to you about that. So again, tonight, if you had planned to come to the Harry C. Moore Library at the University of the Bahamas to attend that distinguished lecture series, please do not. The event has been canceled. And so next time we'll let you know what's happening. So I have a very special guest today joining me, a gentleman whose work in this country has been yeoman's, who has been really working with men for years, thousands of men, in respect of helping them recover, maintain, and deal with their health. He is one of the most renowned urologists in the country, if not the, and certainly within the region. And we are delighted to have him with us today to talk about something that's interesting, very interesting. We can talk about men. Now, women don't turn the radio off. I have with me today the one and only Dr. Robin Roberts. How are you, sir?
I'm going great, sir. A pleasure to be on your program. Mm. Thanks for having me.
No, it's good to be here with you. Now, Doc, you've been working a project. For some time, you and I recently had an opportunity to share on one of the events of that program. And it really is around trying to make a very meaningful and serious impact on the lives of men in this country. broadly. It includes, I think, their health and otherwise. But talk to us about what it is you have been working, you and others have been working on.
Well, good evening once again. First of all, I was really introduced to this in a big way as a member of the Task Force for Gender-Based Violence that the government formed in 2013, and we had a report in 2016. And, you know, the focus of the gender-based violence was the fact that one in three women in the country, in fact, worldwide, have some form of abuse, be it physical, be it mental. And in most instances, it is the perpetrator is a man. Now, that is not to say that abuse, but really, when you look at the numbers and you look at the real statistics, you will find that overwhelmingly the woman is the victim and the man is the perpetrator. So my initial introduction in a national way was one of us trying to say, how can we curb this level of domestic violence or gender-based violence that we have in the country? And when we settled at the end of the day with that program in 2016, we had low-hanging fruits. And those were projects that we felt that we could complete in 1 year. And there were two projects that were directly related to men. One was looking directly at the perpetrators. That is the men who were involved in doing the violence, and we wanted to see how could we rehabilitate those men. The evidence is very clear that there are formal programs for rehabilitating men who are indeed involved in violence. And when this program is completed, they've shown that 10 years down the line, at least 90% of the men have not been involved in any violence on women again.
Wow, that's
so
phenomenal.
We have a very successful program, which was introduced, I think, by the Catholic Church. And I think Rick Fox was one of the leaders in this program, was very much devoted to all the violence on the streets and gang violence and so forth. So that was one of them. But the main problem that we wanted to tackle was, rather than look at those men who have the problem, why don't we look at how we can prevent the problem? And where we need to start is in our schools with our young men, our young boys. And we looked at a project which we called Reclaiming Our Boys. And the intent was looking at our schools where predominantly, practically, whether public or private school, that most of the teachers, in fact, like 80, 90% of the teachers are women. Most of the headmasters now, definitely in the government school, most of our homes that we have, they are headed by one-parent families. And in most instances, that one parent is a female. And so we look at, if you are one of those who believe that it is important for a man to be involved in raising a boy, we're saying, how is it that we can create an environment where boys would be associated with a man or have a man as a mentor as an integral part of his development? And so we were looking at having men go into the schools to be an important part, whether it be on a volunteer basis, hopefully, and we would have this mentorship program. There is a program in the school called the Family Life Curriculum, in which we would have men going into the schools. But in order to go into the schools to be a part of the mentorship, the men need to feel that, listen, I understand what it is, understand the challenges, and I know what it is to mentor, I know what it is to have that sort of leadership role. And so we wanted to have a course in which men can enroll, and having completed this program, that they would feel well equipped and they would want to be a part of this mentorship program in the school. So it was as if we are recreating the community in the school. As we say, it takes a village to raise a child. And we feel very strongly that the best village that we can recreate right now would be to go into the school, have men in the presence of the school, during the school time, after the school time, men who are actively and actively working. You know, we had a concept whereby we can go to the banks and say, listen, we want you to have some of your men who went on their lunch hour. Hmm. We don't want any money from you. Would you donate an hour of their time that they could go to the school? And so that was the concept of this program, Reclaiming Our Boys. Hmm. And so we wanted to have a train of trainer programs in which we started it actually. COVID unfortunately came and blew everything away because we actually started the program along with the Ministry of Education. We had counselors from the school. We had teachers from the school. So now we are trying to restart. And so what we decided to do was to formalize this program as a continuing education program of the University of the Bahamas. So we can see that, we like to say that what we are doing is it has some validity, some reliability. It has some credibility. So that's what we are looking at and that's what we are doing. So we are having a couple of programs initially. This is the month of June. Mm-hmm. In which we are doing a couple of things. The first initiative is that while there's a lot going on with regards to men not taking on their roles in society, not taking on the parenting role, not taking on their share in relationships, not taking on their share in raising our boys, we believe very strongly that there are quite a number of organizations, a lot of male-directed groups that are doing just that. Okay, we got the Urban Renewal Program, we have the Police Force, we have the Defense Force, we have the church groups, we have the Boy Scouts, we have the Royal Ambassadors. So what we wanted to do then, and we're having this Thursday evening at the Evangelistic Temple at the Curry Auditorium across the street, that we're looking at this program whereby this is the second one we are having, in which we are encouraging men to come up. Listen, we've got some serious problems in the country, but there are men who are doing, their organizations that are doing things, and we want to invite you to come out, listen to what's going on. We want you to join us. We want men to become involved. Okay, this notion in the country that men are not doing anything, that we have lost our way, that we are becoming a dying species, that we have to change that. Mm. Okay, in that vein, we're looking at having what is called a male consortium, a Bahamian male consortium. It's not a new organization. We're not starting anything new. What we are saying is that those male organizations that have a male-directed program, a boys-directed program, where we have a mission to raise our boys in the right way. Mm-hmm. As you know, I take it from, you bend a tree while it is young and it will grow in its ways, or you can take it from Frederick Douglass saying that it's easier to raise good boys than repair broken men. Mm-hmm. So we are saying that if our organizations can get together, share what we are doing, we will have a greater impact. Last week, we had at BFM, we had Pastor Dave, along with Rick and my good friend there, he'd shoot me if I forgot his name. Just out of black. Yeah, that's the privilege I get of being an older fellow.
You don't mean David Williams, eh?
No. My gang leader. Carlos Reed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they gave a wonderful, a splendid seminar in which they talked about going into the streets. What are the issues involved? What are the problems involved? But more importantly, what they have been doing and the successes that they have achieved and inviting people to join them, the need for us to go out into the streets to look at how can we break this chain of gangs that are progressing throughout our communities and stealing our young boys away. How can we break that chain? How can we become involved in that? And that was I learned a lot. And and that's the sort of thing we're saying, that we have a lot of organizations like that. And we are encouraging our men to come out and see what is happening and to join us.
But I love the concepts that you have laid out. Very, very thoughtful concepts of intervention that don't represent us as doing it wrong. So he has a way to do it right. It doesn't represent impractical ways of doing it. It's not calling on the government to do it. It's not asking anybody to put no buggy load of money in. It's really taking resources that's available already and deploying them in places and spaces where men are, either as boys or as men, and then asking men, come be a part of your own solution. Absolutely. By participating. And by the way, if you have organizations that are targeting males, then what we're not going to do is replicate those efforts. We just want to do what we do as a group.
We want to join you as a group, right? You know, and one of the things, when the IDES, you know, this came about. So as I say, first of all, I looked at this in a way when we had our gender-based violence program that we were about to do. But more importantly, when you look at this mentorship program, I'm going back now.
But Doc, sorry, so I don't break up your explanation. Can we just take this break and then when we come
Absolutely.
Back? Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host, and I'm here with Dr. Robin Roberts. We're talking about men and what we can do to help them achieve God's potential in their life. We'll be back after this break.
Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Letting you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
We are going back to Cali, BK style, with the California King Collection, only available at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy your choice of plant-based, crispy chicken, or fire-grilled beef, topped with melted white cheddar cheese, bacon, freshly sliced red onion, ripe tomato, crisp lettuce, and BK's creamy guacamole, salted brioche bun. The California King Collection packs a tidal wave of flavors and is made with only quality ingredients that are refreshing and filling with every bite. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
When you get back home from vacation, the last thing you want to do is stand on another line to fill out your exemption paperwork. Well, guess what? You don't. Customs just got simpled with Exempt. Now, with the click of a button, you can fill out your customs form, calculate duties, and even pay online while you're still traveling. Just show your QR code to the customs officer, let them check your bag, and you're out of there. All you have to do is download the Exempt app. It's as easy as 3, 2, 1. Exempt, making travel and customs simple. As of June 12, 2023, this app will become mandatory for all returning residents of the Bahamas. The Exempt app is now available on Google Play or Apple.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5%
debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where I'm speaking with Dr. Robin Roberts. We're talking about men and how we can get involved and how we can help in the numerous issues that men have and the people around them have, including the women in their lives or around their lives. This text says, Mr. Lang, I congratulate Dr. Roberts for the great work he's doing. So just remind him that Carlos is a reformed former gang leader. Loud, loud. And I think you know that quite well, right? Dr. Roberts, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay.
I want to highlight something. Mm-hmm. And it should be and particularly at this time.
Mm-hmm.
This is graduation time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, I consider myself an educator. I've been involved now for almost 40 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been the director of our medical school here under the University of the West Indies since we started, in which we looked at taking medical students who started off in Jamaica or Barbados or Trinidad University of the West Indies, and we do their last two clinical years here at the Princess Margaret Hospital, which has afforded a lot of opportunities for Bahamians who never had an opportunity to go to medical school before and so forth. Mm. The point I wanted to make was this. At this time of year, this is graduation time. And what we see right now is that looking back since we started in 1997 to the end of last year, we have graduated some 600, just over 600 doctors, of which 90% plus of them are Bahamians. And of those almost 600 doctors, over 80% were females. Mm. And if you look at the University of the Bahamas graduation they had last week, again, over 80% of them are females. And I had the privilege just on this weekend. And my grandson, who is 11, 12, he is going, just finishing primary school. So they're going into the high school in QC. And it was very clear to me that almost, again, it looks as if there are more females than males, even at this young age. You know what I'm saying? So what's happening to our young men? Mm. Okay, so and this is a new world now. This is a new world. There were times when boys didn't need to finish school. If they didn't like sitting in the classroom all day, they didn't like this type of studying, they quit school, or once they learned the fundamentals of reading and writing, they would go and get a trade. They can go and work in a hotel. They'd just be a busboy, move up the ranks, and they'd make some good money. They could buy a piece of property, you know, build a house and things. So fine. Because we had strength as men. We had testosterone. Women didn't have that. And nowadays, women now control their fertility. They bonded together. They supported each other. So they no longer, they no longer are barefoot and pregnant. They went to school. They got the vote. They helped each other. And now look and see how they have excelled. Happy for them. I'm glad they've had that. But what has happened to the men?
But the men
who couldn't get the stevedore jobs. The men who no longer wear, they can't cut, their power tools now. Mm. I don't need any strength to mix mortar. Mm-hmm. The truck does that. I don't need it, I don't need any power to do so. I got power source things. You need skills.
But I think that's a part of the big shift that has happened. And if we don't train young men to recognize the shift, then it creates this gap that you talk about, because as you indicated, we now live in a knowledge world. And in that knowledge world, lots of things can get done without raw power, without raw strength. And so women can easily then come into that space because they can focus on the things required for that, for those areas of work. The knowledge skills, they can focus on the emotional intelligence, they can focus on the communication, on these kinds of things. But if men keep getting pushed and develop in the same traditional way, there are still those things available, but there are a bit more men for those now less available things, areas of life.
Some men were out of my car, and I went around. I had a friend of mine who was a Bush mechanic. Mm-hmm. He had no clue what was wrong with my car. Mm-hmm. Not even that anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One time ago, he had a thriving business where he could clean spark plugs and all those kind of things. They're gone.
Deal with the carburetor and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. They're gone. So, so what are we going to find? So how are we going to raise our young boys now? How do we get them to stay in school in order to be able to compete in this knowledge economy? Okay, yeah. So those that haven't talked yet about why men are this way. I'm just looking at what has been the outcome.
Right. And the idea is to try to get men who have found their way, men who have maybe even lost their way and refound their way,
absolutely,
to engage men and say, listen, can I share with you? Can I help you? Can I be a part of how we fix it? Because you know, Doc, I tell the people this on this show. Take males out of the crime statistics of this country, particularly the violent crime statistics, they drop by 80%+. I mean, seriously, just take them out, and not only do they drop in terms of perpetrators, they drop in terms of victims, too. A murder, as an example.
Do you know, let me give you an example in terms of, I'm not even, all we are looking at from that point of view, but just look at the risk factors that we have as men. Mm. Just look at our health statistics. Mm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Just look at our involvement.
Our mortality.
Yes. Okay? Do you know that in the Princess Margaret Hospital prior to the pandemic, mm-hmm. when we had a full-blown functioning accident emergency department, mm-hmm. on average, you will see about 60,000 to 70,000 patient visits per year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Every day, that's what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And do you know that every day, 365, at least one person comes in to that accident emergency room that was either shot or stabbed. Every day. Do you know what it takes to take a person from the operating from the emergency room into the operating room to save their lives? That's $60,000-$70,000 by the time they come out. I'm not talking about what's missing in NIB. I'm not talking about what it takes for him after the hospital in terms of recovery.
Or lost work.
I'm not talking. I'm not looking at. I'm just looking at what it costs in terms of trauma that we have. If we were able to arrest them, you realize how much money we would save in our healthcare system. It's unbelievable.
Damn.
You know. So, yes. Let me try and get my apologies on the phone.
No.
So when we look and see what is happening to the health of our men, you know, we have to say, listen, we've got to look at we can't continue to spend. And that's how I looked at it so differently. Here I am, I've been working in the hospital almost 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, you know, I think I've been doing a great job. I've been saving a lot of lives and so on. But at the end of the day, for every, you know, it's like I say with gunshots. Sure, we can save the folks who come with gunshot wounds. But when I look at how many come in and how much money we spend every, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could get the guns off the street?
But these are preventable things.
That's the key.
It's
you don't know what to call it. We get the guns off the street, out of the gangs.
Yeah. Get the guns off the street. Or get the man disinterested in having the guns.
Give them new opportunities.
Yeah. New mindsets.
New mindset. How do we turn our life around? Yeah. How do we do those things? Now, as I said, I'm not looking at the root causes yet. Just looking at saying, this is what's happening right now. So although we might get at the root of some things, at the end of the day, we still got a lot of people out here that we got to save. You know, how can we look at our prisons? One of our programs now, you know, when I put our consortium, when we looked at having this consortium over the past, I would say 6 to 8 weeks, we have been having at my home on a Tuesday evening, I've been having quite a number of men who have really impressed me in their involvement. It's like Pastor Higgins. We've had our group from the International Men's Conference Day. We've been having men from the family program that Dr. Allen has. We're having men from us too, our Cancer Society Support Group. And so as we're looking together and we are putting our brains together and looking at the kind of programs that we can have, that at the end of the day, sometimes when we finish, we might talk for 2 hours, but we're for another hour, we're just starting to look at our own issues. For the first time, and this is what the men need now, is we actually have a safe place whereby for the first time we can talk about those emotional issues that you mentioned that women are so superior to us about. And one, you know, and that's what men need to learn how to communicate. With each other first. Okay, then no man's going to start talking with no woman first now. Mm. That's out of their line.
Yeah, because that first conversation is with yourself before you get to
absolutely.
You got to convince absolutely. Yourself to do something, or you got to clarify what you want to do to yourself and this kind of stuff. And a great deal of our frustration as human beings rests with the fact that we have these events and things that happen in us and around us that create some feelings or the other, and now they have to be converted into some concepts or ideas through our neocortex. And sometimes the language, sometimes the thoughts are not there to do that, and that's where the frustration builds.
But, you know, when we go right back now, we've been talking about some of the results that we see. And I said, but why is this happening? Hmm. Why is this happening? Well, you know, we got to go back. It's very simple, while it's very complex. And as simple is that in our community, and this is global for the most part, our concept in our culture, in our society, of what a man is and what a man does. That's what's destroying us today. This is a different world today.
Can we pick that up when we come back from this break? Because this is key. This is really critical. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Robin Roberts. We'll be back after this break.
Have you taken a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
Girl, you see how Cora I look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report. Don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying?
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Are you a parent looking to strengthen your family's bond and raise confident, resilient children? Look no further. Cleft of the Rock Foundation presents the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat, June 30th to July 2nd. Immerse yourself in the serene beauty of Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. Picture yourself surrounded by turquoise waters and palm trees. It's the perfect setting for an unforgettable and transformative experience. From the renowned Dr. Bob Barnes, Parenting on Purpose is a comprehensive training program designed to equip you with practical tools and strategies to raise happy, confident children. Dr. Barnes' expertise and passion for families will inspire and empower you. Register today at cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com to secure your spot at this life-changing retreat. Limited spots are available, so don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Join us for the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat at Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. We're rebuilding the village, one family at a time.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we're speaking with Dr. Robin Roberts. And we're talking about men and men's issues and how he and others are working with the program to try and address them. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. Or 325-4316 or 325-4259-4796 or WhatsApp me on 439-3043. Let me remind you that if you intended to attend the distinguished lecture series at the Government and Public Policy Institute at the University of the Bahamas tonight at 6:30, featuring the Governor General, His Excellency, the Most Honorable Sir Cornelius A. Smith, that event has been postponed. It has been postponed as the GG has is unwell, and therefore we will reschedule that event for another day. Please pray for his speedy recovery. And that event has been postponed. Dr. Roberts, I'm 55 years old. I had a wonderful father, I thought. I mean, you know, I had men around me, I thought, for the most part, even though a lot of women, certainly the most dominant personality in my life was a woman. And I have friends who are males, etc. But I have to tell you, I don't know that anyone really said to us, this is what a man is. This is what, I mean, we got an impression by things they said to us of what a man was, but in terms of that being an issue, I don't think that's ever really clearly articulated and presented to too many males in the Bahamas. What do you think?
I think you're right. You know, things which are embedded in, by very nature, that's what we say is culture. That we take for granted, and that's what it is. And so what is in our culture in terms of what a man's supposed to be? And you know, I say this a lot when I give talks. And if I was giving a talk, particularly at a men's group in a church or whatever, and I say to them, what is a man? And I would bet you 95% of the respondents would say, a man is a protector, he's a provider, he's a leader, you know, he's committed, he's family-focused, he's responsible. Well, the first thing I say when I say, that's good. Tell me, of all those things you just called off, I have a son and a daughter. Which one of those qualities I do not want for my daughter? I not want her to be responsible and family-focused and provide for herself. And to be able to protect herself or some happen. That's why I send to university, right? To be independent. And to have leadership qualities and to be committed. Yeah? So let's what defines that? As far as I'm concerned, you're talking about what a good citizen should be, not ready for
a good person.
You know, and in the old days, you know, in a lot of societies, they had what was called a rite of passage. And in the Bahamas, you know, 50, 60 years ago, we knew what a rite of passage was. We knew that when you went to school and you had your basic, you know, how to learn to read and write. In fact, you might not have been able to learn to read and write. You might not have had a chance to go to school, okay? Because you were learning a trade. And when you learn a trade, because it was one in which you were able to earn an income. That's why some folks decided, I kind of bother with the school thing. I'm going to go where we got the hotel industry. A lot of tips and so forth. But the first thing that determined that you're a man was when you had a job. You had a steady income. And the first thing you did was you bought a piece of land, property. When you went to get married, and the father said, you know, oh, so you want my daughter's hand in marriage, where are you going to put her? And you were able to say, yeah, I got a house and I got property. Nah, you're man. You're man. Hmm. Getting a car, owning a car didn't say anything about you being a man. We had a rite of passage in the Bahamas that we defined as men. That you earned an income, you had a steady job, you were able to buy a property, you could build yourself a house, you could create a home.
And now your daughter could do all them things too.
And my daughter could do all those things. Okay, so that's the first thing. But we know that that's just when the drop of dressing. Because we know as men, we know what it takes when we sit on the block what it is to be a man. Okay? You know, you got to be able to hold your liquor. Huh? You know, real men, we don't talk long. You know, when the thing coming. You understand? I can't sit down. You shut up. I a woman telling you what to do? No, man, don't do that. You tell your woman, boy, say going out. You know, I tell my woman I go. I don't discuss an act. What it is we going to do. I going out. I don't talk long and stuff. And if you decide to challenge me, you know what you're going to get.
And I don't wash dishes, clean toilet, wash no clothes, and them kind of things. When the child need to be beaten, that's what I do.
That's right. And then I have my sexual prowess, of course. Mm-hmm. I got to have all the women I can get. Mm-hmm. I got to have all the children I could get. Mm-hmm. Okay? So we understand what that society said. That what a man should be. Hmm. You know, I didn't really hit me. The other day I saw a video. And it was so, it struck me. I had a father. He had a little six-year-old girl and a seven-year-old boy. And the six-year-old girl came home crying. And she said her girlfriends tease her and say she didn't know, she didn't look pretty and didn't have her hair fixed and so on. And she's crying. And the father, he cuddled up that girl and he said, oh, daddy's here to protect you. Daddy is here going to make sure that the next time you go out and you're going to do this, we're going to go out and I'm going to get you this. And he was so caring and nurturing. Then they showed on the flip side the next day, the son came home and said, daddy, them boys, they push me down and they hit you. He said, you crying? Boy, get on, go in your room. Don't come out here until you stop crying. Okay? And you, when you come back out, you tell me what it is you're going to do and all that stuff and so on. So he couldn't express himself. Hmm. He couldn't show his emotions.
Let's take
a simple example of that, hmm. of how we raise our boys. You know, we are competitive. My grandson, even now, the first thing he wants to do, I say, let's play a little something. Daddy, I could beat you. Okay? We are so competitive.
We're going
to... How can we get one up?
Doc, we're gonna have to take a news break soon. Okay. But somebody's been holding on the line, so they may. Let's see if we can get them in if they're still here. Go ahead, caller. Be listening to you. Hello. I think we lost them.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we lost them. So I agree with you. You know that there are so many cultural factors, maybe even religious factors, which are part of your cultural factors that come into play in defining what a man is, but we still don't get to, okay, so I'm saying to this boy, you need to be a man. What am I asking him to be?
but I tell you one thing, the part about it, is that whatever you ask him to be, suppose he doesn't fit. Suppose he doesn't cope. Suppose, listen, actually, my mother showed me how to hug up and how to cook and how to do this and that. Well, what you mean? You know, and the boys tease me when they come and see me doing that. Well, Kevin, something fundamentally wrong with you. Yeah. Okay? Because I wouldn't stand up and fight. Because I wouldn't push and shove. Mm. Because I'm not a good sports person.
Yeah,
I can't run fast. I can't do this. I can't play that. I can't do the things that real boys... I'm terrible at shooting basketball. So therefore, those things that boys... Suppose I can't do those things. Mm-hmm. I'm not coping. Mm-hmm. I'm scared. You know what I mean? I'm hopeless,
for the religious souls, those of us who subscribe to the Judeo-Christian belief, and there are some who do, but those of us who do, I always say, when careful to look at Jesus. Because if a man is defined by having a woman, then Jesus had none as far as we could tell. If a man is defined by being married, then Jesus was not married. If a man is defined by having a house, Jesus had no house. He said, foxes have their holes and birds have their nests, but the son of man had nowhere to lay his head. So he had none of those things. If you do it by his running up and down and running around, none of that too, all, et cetera, et cetera. So if Jesus was a man...
And
if he was the definite, exactly, he didn't fight and he turned the other cheek, but when he got angry for God's stuff, he did turn the money changers, the tables over and for that. So if Jesus is the example of a man, then you could start there and say, well, what was he? What was he? Now, for me, the Bible says, and God said, let us make our own image. And he said, and he made them male and female. So man being a person, male and female. But so sometimes I think what we are really trying to get at when we talk about being a man is how to be a proper male in a social context, as opposed to a man, because a person can be all the things you just said your daughter or your son could be, which is a man made in the image of God, doing the things that God has equipped them to do. But being a male in the context of the opposite sex, that becomes a social construct now that we have to now say, what do we do with that?
Absolutely.
All right. So when we come back, Doc, we want to talk more about the program and talk about, you know, where to from here, and if some of these folks are out there looking for, so your game, we're going to take a news break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm here with Dr. Robin Roberts, and we're talking about men and their issues and programs around how to address them. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Weather, cold or warm, send you know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same
road. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful, however, overcast a Tuesday afternoon here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. If you want to give us a call, please feel free to do so on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. I'm here with Dr. Robin Roberts. And we're talking about men, their issues. You know, Doc, just before we take a phone call, I want to say this. What a man is something that I know was not deliberately and intentionally taken up with me. So I've taken it up with my children, with my sons, in particular my youngest son. And what I've said to him, I said, you know, son, a man is a person. First and foremost, a person made in the image of God. Right, and expected to come into the likeness of God. So that man can play many roles. He can be a father, or he may not. He can be a husband, or he may not. He may be have some particular skill in some area, or he may not. But ultimately, what he is a person whose ultimate reality comes through his connectedness to his creator, God. And so for me, that's the end, the be-all and end-all of it all. So you don't get type-fitted by this and that and the next thing, because the context of both your manness and your maleness is the creator that made both. Right, and so that's how we could talk about through that some before we get back to the program. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good evening, Mr. Lang.
Yes, ma'am.
Good
how are
evening,
you?
Hi, Dr. Yes, Roberts. Mr. Lang, I make it a practice almost about every day of my life once you are on to listen to you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Very clear, precise and concise. And just a teaching, learning episode or portion of the Guardian programs.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a slight problem with the, I wouldn't say the shock treatment, but how we go about trying to get our young hand and to learn and to be what it is we think they should be.
Mm.
Now, a thought that came to me way back as I listened, and especially this last time, with the shock treatment thing, they took a group of persons, children, young children from the Carmichael area.
Mm-hmm.
And the program, what I saw, seemed to have been okay.
Mm.
But it didn't do anything to them because the same thing they did before they went into the shock treatment, that's the same thing they are doing now again.
Mm.
And I am wondering two things. Number one, the parents need to be trained or talked to or listened to. They need to be either rewarded or penalized, however that's going to work out. And the same thing for the children. Probably we look at the children and we say, well, they're only 6 years or they're 7 years old, 7 to 14 or whatever they were. But listen to them. It takes more than just an evening or a group of persons individually and find out from them what it is they think they need or want. And if we are listening carefully, we will hear. And most times I think we will be able to work our way around how to help them to come to that understanding of what it, you know, how they're going to achieve what they want to achieve in life. It's not always how we see it and what we want it to be. We have to connect with them and let them grow into it as we, the teachers or whoever, guide them in there. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Doc?
When we have, I like to approach problems from what we call the public health approach. And the public health approach takes three things into consideration. One, we have a problem that's a big burden in society, be it economic, be it mental, physical, but it's a huge burden in society. And male health is one of them. The second thing is that it could happen to you or me as members, whatever it is involved in what that challenge is.
Hmm.
Let's say violence, right? The big factor in this society, we could be victims. Okay, it could happen to me.
Hmm.
But the third factor is that it is preventable.
Hmm.
And when you look at that from a point of view of the public health approach, say, how could we prevent it? It takes into account that there are three levels of prevention. There's the primary prevention, whereby you want to make sure that it never happens, so we vaccinate our kids. So they wouldn't know what that is.
Mm.
Okay? And then you can look at those who are at risk. And so you say, yeah, this is a fact. He has a risk factor here. This is a kid who in a one-parent family and the mother's working 3 days a week, they're home alone, there's no one to look after them and so forth. So we need to have a place for them, the mother to know that there is a place where she can send her child, whether it's the Boy Scouts, whether it's the Urban Youth Program or whatever, there's some place where when she is out of the home, that someone there can guide them along the way. So, and then you have tertiary prevention, in which the person has already done something. They're already the perpetrator. So you want to bring them back to health. The shock treatment is a treatment that moves at the level of that tertiary prevention.
Mm.
So you have to bring individuals back to health. But you can't just say, bring, you know, the fact that I might be a smoker and I went in the hospital because I had a bad episode of a pneumonia because I have a bad chest from my smoking. The one thing I got to do when I come in the hospital is to stop smoking.
Hmm.
Can't go by the smoking.
Hmm.
And so what you have to do now is to tie that program, and the best example of that will be Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hmm.
that person now goes through a step-wise, whether it's the 13 steps or how many steps you have in the Alcoholic Anonymous program, and they commit that every day I will not drink. So when you have someone in a step, I'm pretty positive listening to Carlos Reed and those in their short program, that what you were saying was just the first part of the program, whereby you're saying, good, let's first get you out of your habit.
Also,
now the second part is where they missed.
And also I think what's important is really, as you as a physician have said many a times, and I've heard other physicians say, every human being is different. And so I may subject you, all of you, to a certain medicine because you are presenting with the same disease. But in fact, the efficacy of that medicine could be different for you because your metabolism is unique. Well, so is every brain. So is every person. So I might take 10 guys into the shock treatment. And for three of them, it absolutely is evidence that I should not be doing what I was doing before. For four of them, it was nice, short. I really moved me. And then for some of them, man, listen, what the hell with this? They better try something else. So every human being is different. And so, but you try because you're trying to catch who you can. And then the next time, as you say, you go to the step two and follow up and say, okay, maybe this fella needs something more or need additional this and that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, so again, the shock treatment, I think it has a role. But then it also has another one. Say, good, now I've gotten your attention. To me, all the shock treatment does is get your attention.
You realize
that your behavior is inappropriate.
Mm. And has consequences that will land you in this shocking place.
That's right.
And this shocking circumstance.
That's right. Now, so how do you move from here? Once you acknowledge and appreciate the consequences of your action, I've shocked you into realizing that. Now I got to take you to the next level and say, now, and as you rightly said, that person now has come back into the community and doing what they used to do before. That person now somehow lost the mentorship.
But you know, Doc, to be sure again, because we live in this Judeo-Christian society and so many of us subscribe to it, here's an example of what you just said. Because, you know, that shock treatment is a literal physical attendance, say, at a program, right? But the truth is, we get shock treatments in our admonitions from the Bible. So the Bible says, the soul that sinneth will surely die. Well, what is the gentleman trying to do? Shock you into not sinning, because the ultimate consequence is death.
Yes, it's the
same kind of thing. But we know that doesn't stop many of us from sinning. So we now have to go to the next thing. Whereas forming this relationship with the Lord or trying to do other things to get ourselves.
Absolutely.
So it's the same. So it's just as you said, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So going back to what I think that you wanted to look
at. The program.
So once we look at those challenges,
mm-hmm.
and when we look at what it is that has taken us to this place where men have more diseases than women, men are dying at a higher risk prematurely than women, men are so violent. We can talk all day about the issues, the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So when we review that, we also need to look and say, okay, this thing called man or maleness, because the minute you are born, they put you in, yeah,
mm-hmm.
it's a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah,
so here's the part which we're going to raise you. Get all the weapons, start wearing blue. This is how you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the next 10 to 15 years of your life, you're in a boot camp.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To act out that predetermined
thing that you ought to be
in our society.
So therefore now what we need to say, let's review this now and say, of those things that we have that we want to inculcate in our boys to say, this is what is to be man. There got to be some good things. So we're going to look at this, the good side of maleness. And there's some very good things in this maleness part. The most obvious comes to light is number one. If there's a war right now, just look in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the time when they say the Bahamas might go to when they bombed our boats.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The first thing, the men line up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
They are prepared to sacrifice their life for mm-hmm. their family,
mm-hmm.
for their wife, or their spouses, their
mm-hmm.
children.
Mm-hmm. That you hear that noise in the middle of the night, and who getting up, going downstairs, checking things
okay.
up?
That's the first thing, you know. So there's something, because unfortunately, since we weren't brought up to express emotionally,
This is how we express love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, our means of expressing love are different because we weren't allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that high emotional quotient.
Mm-hmm. That hurricane coming, and who out there boarding up and thing? And in the middle of the hurricane, I ain't asking nobody. No. In the middle of the hurricane, when the board fly off and all that wind blowing through the window, who is there sealing that window? That man.
That's a good cut. You say, man on top of that now, what goes with that? Courage. You got to have the courage to be able to say, listen, yeah, the wind's blowing and whatever and so forth. I got to go outside there. And, you know, you don't think about doing it. You say, you're decisive. You got to take an action. You don't think twice. Woman would think twice because she can say, boy, we're going to look after the kids.
Chips,
do this and so forth. They make a decision. They have to have the courage to go. Okay. And they have to persevere. This ain't short term. You got to continue. Your things ain't looking good.
Now, Doc, can I, because I know there are women who may listen to this and think you're stereotyping. But the truth is, what we're talking about is the strong tendencies in a direction for maleness or femaleness, right? Not that that there aren't exceptions to it, or there aren't women who will, or men who will do otherwise. But what we're saying is, when you examine the totality of the incidences that take place, here is a tendency we could to maleness femaleness. Yeah.
What does it take? And when we talk about character, what does it take to have character? And we say, you know, and that's what we want in our boys. Mm-hmm. We want them to have this integrity. Mm-hmm. We want them to say, you need to respect your elders. You need to respect other men. You need to respect your mothers. You know, you must be responsible. Your word must be your bond. You got to be fair. You got to be caring. You know,
and apologetic when you are in error, when you go wrong, to be able to recover and repair yourself.
Absolutely. Okay, so we establish this. It might be very universal. In terms of saying, these are one of the things I would like to see in a girl too, or a woman too. Mm-hmm. Yes. But I'm saying, in particular, I want to make sure that I can have these features. I want to have more of the character, because this is what I want. Because at the end of the day, moving back to what you were talking, when you say to your boy, what I'm looking at is this is what it is to be human, to be caring, to love. You know, and there's a spirituality to it. And no matter how you look at it, I might be an agnostic. I might not want to go to church. Don't come and tell me about God or whatever. But at the end of the day, the essence of being human is there's something spiritual in you to care for the other person. And that's what makes Christianity so attractive, because what is the greatest thing you can do? You give your life. Your life for another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Greater love has no man than this. Love than hath no man than this. And that's not male, this man, person, than that a man give his life for a friend.
You know, and so when you look at humanity in terms of saying we have to live together, I like to use there's just something that always wrong in me that I saw when I started to look and reading with a gender base and so on. He says, the world of humanity has two wings. One is a woman and the other is man. Should one wing remain weak, flight is impossible.
And that's beautiful. That is, and you know, I was going to make this point. I said, you know, I'm leaving, because that is beautiful, because the extent of my definition of myself as a male necessitates some definition of the other as a female.
Absolutely.
And so there neither concept has any meaning or beauty outside of the other.
You see, so when we look at this whole issue of gender-based violence, going back to as I say, what drew me into this thing in terms of looking at where we stand as men and the violence that we have, not only to women, but to ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, men commit suicide 7 times more than women in this country. Okay, mm-hmm. And then we look at the violence towards our other male partners.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it from that perspective, you need to be able to say that the women can't do this alone.
Yeah, yeah.
The man must be able to reach in himself and to say, listen, I am the other wing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the partner.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you can reach and achieve what you're supposed to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
or whatever you want to achieve, I am here to help you to do that.
We have a call on the line, Doc. Let's take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Yes, good day.
Good day.
I'm calling. I listened to the lady that said just before the doctors continued on, and she was speaking. She was saying that sometimes that after going through this program, a lot of the young men, they just continue on. I do agree with her in that, because I've seen, personally, I've seen it to be so. What I want to bring forward is that a lot of times when she say, I do agree in that, you need to have something directed specifically to each of those individuals, because a lot of them are going through different things. When they go through the program, yeah, a lot of them, they are scared straight. They are truly scared after the program, and there are some that they are so hardened that it doesn't really matter what you say to them. Because at the end of the day, once they finish with that program, they're going to go right back into the same environment that you brought them from. They're going to face the same social issues that they came from. So I agree with her that you need to deal with each of them as an individual and to find out what is really going on in their life. But just to bring them there and say you scared them, that's not going to do nothing for them when they reach right back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. She says, as a college-educated social scientist, I understand the intention of the shock treatment program as a tertiary-level intervention. However, we as a society tend to confuse methodologies that approximate the severity of a problem as an effective countermeasure to the problem. This is an anecdotal, subjective approach. However, the scientific objective data indicates that shock treatment-style programs not only do not work as intended, but may actually embolden antisocial behavior. I could get on board with that to some degree for sure. We need to follow the lead of social scientists who are specifically trained to develop appropriate methodologies, which may at times seem counterintuitive versus conventional wisdom. Wonderful.
I just want to add, going along that same vein, when they look at all the programs they have in terms of intervention programs in our kids and raising them, the number one or the most effective program, high on the list, are the after-school programs. Okay? And when you look at the after-school, here's what disheartens me. At 3 o'clock when the bell rings, the schoolyard is empty. The kids have to walk alone home, or when they go home, they're only being raised by the television. Okay, or their older brother or sister. Okay, if I go back 50, 60 years ago, when we were kids, we realized after every year, we would go to Boys Brigade. I was in the Royal Ambassadors. You would go to band.
Boy Scouts.
After school, there is something that you have to do. Okay. Nowadays, a privilege of the inverted commas middle class to be able to make sure your kid is doing something every evening and so on. But the average person who might live down and where they have very limited income, they can't, if they don't have assistance in a community, and they have these programs, they're left out.
Yeah.
The kid goes home, he's either on television, he's in the social media, or he has a gang to join.
We have another call on the line. Let's take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Robin. Sparky,
yes,
here.
Sir.
Hello?
Who's that?
Sparky.
Oh, okay, Marky.
Sparky.
Oh, Sparky. All right.
Jeez, okay, he can't let me in, Mr. Lang.
He can hear you now. Go right ahead, Sparky.
I can hear you now.
Okay, hey, how you doing, Doc?
Uh-huh, how you doing, Sparky?
Doc, I just got back home from the chiropractor now. Doc, see, when we talk about the differences in the times when you and I went to Governor High, the Governor High, call it, we didn't have nobody picking us up in the morning at the bus stop to drop us to school and pick us up. We walked from home all the way to GHS. I had to walk twice a day from Madera Street to Thompson Boulevard. Twice a day. And when you finish there, you go home, you take a bath or something, you get your home workout out of the way, And if it's early enough, you could go out and play or shoot marbles with the boys or fly kite. We had a regiment, and we knew what we do. Like you said, when he came out of school, the first thing my old man told me, don't worry about no car, no motorbike like the rest of your friends. Get yourself a piece of land. I found out my first job was down at Caribbean Dental. Mr. Lang, for a minute. Yeah. And the first chance I got, I went and I bought a piece of land, an acre property on Carmichael Road, because some foreigners were leaving the town when the government took over. Okay, Mr. Lang? I bought that for $3,000 back in 1972. And that's what we were taught to. You buy a piece of land, you get an architect, you design your house, you put down your foundation, you try to get it up to bell cost, so by the time that happened, you might be married. You got a place to put your children. Look what happened to the children today. They come from school, they go on the basketball court, they bay on the basketball court, like 9, 10 o'clock in the night. You got to blame the parents. When the parents sitting in the bar all day, and the children passing the doggone bar and stopping and asking mommy for $1 or $5 to buy a sandwich or Kentucky, mommy and daddy in the bar smoking cigarette, and the children going home by themselves. And then they went on the basketball court. Then they get into trouble. They form gangs. That wasn't around in our days. We'd get pounded. Our parents would have pounded us half to death. But it's so prevalent now in this country, like it's a way of life in the Bahamas. We have gotten rid of our culture, and nobody seems to want to change it. It just keeps going on and on and on.
All right. You
got to be able to appreciate that the times have changed significantly. Number one, in those days, we did have gangs. Yeah, we had the Nassau.
I was wondering.
We had the Cinema Boys. We had the fellas who, they were the bullies. We had them, okay? But at the end of the day, it was not an era where we had the... I remember when they started selling...
Doc, sorry. We're going to take a break because Sparky's line is still up. We're going to take a break, and hopefully by the time as we come back, that'll be off, and then you can continue. Ladies, after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahama schemes come in July 7th to July 15th, and Grandbahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
Are you a parent looking to strengthen your family's bond and raise confident, resilient children? Look no further. Cleft of the Rock Foundation presents the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat, June 30th to July 2nd. Immerse yourself in the serene beauty of Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. Picture yourself surrounded by turquoise waters and palm for an unforgettable and transformative experience. From the renowned Dr. Bob Barnes, Parenting on Purpose is a comprehensive training program designed to equip you with practical tools and strategies to raise happy, confident children. Dr. Barnes' expertise and passion for families will inspire and empower you. Register today at cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com to secure your spot at this life-changing retreat. Limited spots are available, so don't miss out on this incredible opportunity. Join us for the Parenting on Purpose Weekend Retreat at Pelican Bay Resort in Freeport, the Bahamas. We're rebuilding the village, one family at a time.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, where we are here speaking with Dr. Robin Roberts. You know him, the esteemed urologist, but he's very active in trying to address issues confronting our males and trying to do it from what I believe is one of the most comprehensive and most rationally thought out ways to do it. You know, you're not wasting resources, theoretical alone. We're not trying to be impractical about it. We're not begging the government for a ton of money so that that becomes an issue. Not complaining or accusing anybody of being the problem. Not telling men someone got to come and fix them, but saying to men, you can be involved with your own intervention, etc. It's just a healthy approach to a program, and clearly the people who were part of this have been very thoughtful in thinking through it, Doc. And so we're going to talk about it some more. But I believe we have a caller on the line, and so we'll take that call. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lang.
Good afternoon
to Dr. Roberts. A great show as always, sir.
Thank you much.
And I want to applaud Dr. Roberts on taking a lead and really going out there and trying to save the male, our young men and male. Need as much help as possible. Indeed, for me, it concerns me as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother, that the men are falling behind. But a man can only speak to a man. So I want you to continue to go forward, knowing that God is with you. What I think is a major concern beyond the fact of the young men being affirmed and confirmed from male.
Mm.
I think the presence of relationship with the Lord is a key, and involvement in church. And I think that has to be a place where great emphasis is placed in restoring the youth back to God. I think that's very key. That's faith, knowing that I can do all things through Christ, that I am the head, not the tail, that I am the God and have dominion, that I have my family, and I have a response, that there's nothing I can't do. And God will be the father to the fatherless. And I really believe that's the base. I really believe that's the base.
Okay.
And the church should be able to provide some sort of support as a family. Empower our young men. And a lot of them are lacking basic skills. They've dropped out of school very early, very, very early. And so we probably got to retrain them, reteach them basic English, math, and then give them some life skills. All of that. Be encouraged. God bless.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Doc?
No, I think she's making some good points. What I want to say is that if we look at individuals and we say that we want them to achieve their ultimate potential, what is the potential in a young boy? And his potential is only being disrupted by the fact that he has a one-parent family. He doesn't have a man in his life. He doesn't have a mentor in his life. One of the things that really fascinated me to appreciate why it's so important at an early stage to find out where we lose our boys. We're seeing the outcomes. But you know, there's a program there's a program in the schools, or not the program, there's a situation recognized called the fourth grade syndrome. in which they showed among the Black American boys was that at the level of the fourth grade, when they look at the boys who could not read, they were able to predict on the percentage of boys who couldn't read. They followed them at high school. They were dropouts, never got employed, involved in crime, and ended up in prison. So on the basis of their inability to read by the fourth grade, they could predict how many prisons they would need 20 and 30 years down the line, and they use that in the stock market in terms of raising monies for building new prisons.
But Doc, think about this for a moment. Okay. Think about this for a moment. In the days of slavery, what was one of the principal prohibitions against slaves being able to do?
Don't teach them how to read.
You could, if you were found reading as a slave, they would gouge your eyes out.
Absolutely.
They would pour a lye in your eye so they could blind you. If you were one of them who could read, who was teaching other slaves to read, they made an example of you. Why? Why would slave masters insist that slaves not be able to read?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a saying that stuck in me, has always been, where they say that education is the vaccine for violence.
Well, and another one that says a educated man is hard to rule, but easy to govern.
Okay. So therefore, I'm saying that. So it's not, I have a good friend of mine, Margot Blackwell, who used to be at the university. And she was listening. She said, you don't train people. You train dogs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you don't raise, that's what they say too. You don't raise people, you raise herds.
You educate them. And there's some value in her saying that. Mm-hmm. So what we have to say is, you know, when they're lost, and we have to educate them. Mm-hmm. Get them to see the light. And you'll be surprised. Look at Malcolm X.
You know, Doc, I do not subscribe to the notion that you just need males to raise males or men to raise men. I don't subscribe to that for this reason. Some males and some men are not fit to lead, mentor other males, right? So it has to be that, and this was the beauty of what I saw in your program. It has to be that those who you are seeking to get to mentor and interact with the males, you're taking through a program, taking through some training to say, these are the kinds of things you need to know and to be able to do if I'm going to expose you to these people we are trying to help, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And so it brings us back in saying, and my good friend Dave just called in because he is involved in the prison ministry.
Right, right.
And one of our programs that we have this month is on Sunday. We'll be going and having dinner with the residents at the correctional center. We're trying to change that whole name in terms of there are people who are residing there, and as the minister would say, we're looking to see how we can bring them back to be productive members in the society. And so we have to consider them as not being prisoners locked up there for life, but they are residents in which we are going to see how we can impact their lives to be more meaningful. And so on Sunday, we will be at the prison, and we will be having lunch with about 200 the prisoners and their families. And we hope that we'll be able to assist them prepared for when they come out of prison. More importantly, on Thursday evening, we have our program, which we call is Getting Involved. And that's going to be on Thursday at 6 o'clock p.m., starting at the Evangelistic Temple at the Gary and Myrtle Curry Youth Center, which used to be, I think, the original church. And so I'm looking to see, in terms of us getting involved, how many men would come out, and boys and groups would come out to see where we are and to see exactly how they can be a part of this getting involved, regardless of what organization that they are in. We would like them to be a part.
In fact, if you're going to go on Thursday, why don't you hit me up on WhatsApp and tell me, yeah, I'm going so Doc can get an idea. Those of you who are listening, interested, and are going to go on Thursday there to the Evangelistic Temple's Youth Center. You can text me on 439-3043 and say, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm interested. I really want to be a part of this. So text me if you are going to do that on Thursday, 439-3043. Go ahead, Doc, sorry.
And then one of the things that we are really excited about, I think we'll have to change the date, but because we apparently we got squeezed out of our venue. But at the end of the month, on the 24th of June, we might have to postpone it down. I have to wait and see when we have our meeting tonight. But we are looking at a Kermit Ford Day.
Mm.
And Kermit Ford is one of the pioneers in helping to redefine our boys, getting them involved in positive things, particularly in karate, and more importantly, within the marching bands. And on that day, we are looking at having a variety of programs, okay? And phone is going like mad. I'm trying my best. Yeah. And so we're going to have some of the youth bands that are going to come out, and they're going to demonstrate their skills and so on. We're going to have karate demonstration. We're having a men's fun day where we're looking at... You might see these folks who are on Monique and at certain places and venues where they're playing their dominoes. We're having our chess group to come in. We're looking at the bikers doing a show for us. We're looking at a show for the antique cars. And so we're looking at having a real day where men can get together with boys and say there are positive things that we can do and enjoy the company of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we're looking at that. We are tentatively have it scheduled for the 24th of June on Saturday in the afternoon.
Mm.
But, you know, I got to put on my other hat now. We're preparing for September, which is the month in which we do our prostate cancer screening program.
Mm-hmm.
COVID had it locked out for us, and we haven't. So we haven't had our public screening now for 3 years. So we will be starting again in September at the government clinics. At all the four clinics as we had before with our PSA screening and our rectal exams. And so we really want to tell the men to look for that. And we'll be talking about that soon. And we can come at another time and talk about prostate cancer and where we are in the country and what we need to do. We're also looking at having other programs for men to get together. We have the International Men's Day. And they're looking at having September as well in terms of the men getting together who are interested in having a positive development in the country. And then in November, we are looking forward as well. We're looking at having some major programs in November. And so you'll be hearing much more about that. The point I'm trying to say is that we have a group of men from different organizations. We try and get all the male organizations whereby we can say, this is what we are doing. We would like you to join us. We want to join you. And here is a program whereby we're going to educate each other and have a community in which we can regain the position we had, the leadership role we had in this society. And we can really form that other wing that we should be in the humanity along with our females.
But Doc, in reality though, there are lots of Bahamian men who are doing fantastic jobs with themselves and with their families, in particular with their own young males. Isn't that not so?
Listen, that is the whole idea of the program on Thursday evening. Men get involved. You want to show them, listen, there are men doing things while I'm on this program. You know, all you hear about is you're no good man. Mm-hmm. You're like no good pa. You ain't amount to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And we go around and we go around and we see these nice big photos of the big billboards with the women making progress in the country. Where are the men making progress in the country?
Doc, wait a minute.
Listen carefully. I'm not saying.
No. I'm a Jew. Wait a minute. I'm just saying. The billboards are big and deserving.
but absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I'm for their way through, rightfully so. And I will continue, and the organizations I'm involved in, we will continue to support them to continue that progress.
A bird needs two wings to fly.
A bird needs two wings. We need to do some things for ourselves. We need to strengthen ourselves, get back and play the leadership role on as we should.
We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Chibago.
Hi, yes, how you doing?
Oh, you're with me. Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing, Chibago?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. And good afternoon, Dr. Roberts. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent. Well, I wanted to call in before the show was over to thank you for all that you were doing, and also Chibago, and all you were doing, Chibago, to help to mentor and to guide young men, and to help to bring back young men who have lost their way on the straight and narrow track.
Thank you.
And what forced me to call him, I was listening to the entire conversation, and what forced me to call him was the point that Dr. Roberts made just now about the billboards and who you're seeing on the billboards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, you know, while this may be a controversial input to the conversation, I believe it's a reality-based conversation. And what you are seeing now in the country that's also, in my view, having some level of impact, how deep, I don't know, because I've not done a study, but an impact nonetheless, is the promotion of the agenda of the female in the country. That's how I would put it, right? And that is a deliberate push, and they have no concern or care about how it's viewed. They're doing it nonetheless. However, on the flip side, I believe that if the men took, there would be a cry of, philosophically speaking, murder, right? Or there would be a cry of unfairness if that same approach was taken to deliberately push men, young men aside, or young men ahead. I'm sorry, not aside, in the country. But you know, and it is the reason why I call in to say to yourself, Dr. Roberts, and to yourself, Chibago Lang, former minister, thank you all for what you all are doing to help to guide young men and to mold young men and to bring those back on track who has lost their way. And I encourage you all to continue the good works, and may God continue to bless you all with the resources that you need to push through, and may government as much as possible seek to partner with and bring all of you all together to try and formulate some national policy that we could use to drive this kind of agenda. Thank you all for the opportunity. Thank you, Chibago.
Thank you
for the great work. God bless.
Thank you, Anton. Doc, we have a text here. Says, hi, Chibago. Excellent show. Keep up the great work. I do intend to attend the meeting on Thursday. Is there an email for Dr. Roberts? I wish to share with him a plan for a mentor program I'm working on launching. Thanks.
Absolutely. Straightforward. RobinNassau50@yahoo.com.
That's RobinNassau50@yahoo.com. Listen, folks.
No spaces, no dots, straightforward.
Listen.
Two answers together.
Listen, folks. Sunday is Father's Day. Y'all know what we can do on Friday. But on Thursday, please listen. I'm talking to men and women on Thursday, but Father's Day is on Sunday. Father's Day is on Sunday. And no, ain't gonna be no pretty flowers, Ron. We already know that, right? We already know that. There's not gonna be a bunch of promotions for Father's Day. We already know that. Don't get upset and angry about that. That's irrelevant now. It is what it is. But Father's Day is coming. And men, let's talk. Father's Day is coming. Okay, Doc?
Absolutely.
It is. You know, Doc, honestly, I can't say that we men do not bring upon ourselves some of the very harsh criticisms that have been levied against us. Our behavior has warranted it. And so we have to accept that. But what is also true, as I like to say to men, is that that's not the whole story.
And if you accept all of your failings and all of your faults and all of your flaws, there are attendant also to them some very noble and wonderful traits. And the quest is to continue to build the one and to work on the other.
Well, you know, when I listened at the workshop last week with Pastor Dave Burrows and Carlos Reed and Eric Fox, and talking about how we transform the lives of so many gang members.
Hmm.
And it becomes very clear to me, it is not where you fought.
Mm-hmm.
You get up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and many of us might not come from the best backgrounds. And, you know, we've had a rough childhood, or we, you know, there's so many things that were lost during our rearing days. We have an opportunity to change that. That's what we do. We have an opportunity to change that. You know, I grew up in a one parent family.
Mm.
I was so fortunate that I was the last child, and there was a 7-8 years difference.
Mm.
So I was the first one to go to high school and to go to university. But having said that, one of the things I said, I knew my father very well. I loved him dearly, but he never saw me in bed. And I promised myself that whenever I have children, I'll be able to read them a story every night, make sure I put them in bed and see them, that they are secure. And so while he might have had 15 children, and he said, no more. He said, anyone who says anything anymore is not. But he couldn't count them all.
Mm.
He had two. You can break a cycle.
Mm.
Okay? You know, and men need to break that cycle. You know, we were able in family planning to reduce the fertility rate in women. Women were able to join that program. The fertility rate down to 1.9. So the average behaving woman only has two children.
Y'all did a fantastic job, because this population rate has slowed.
Now, how could we do that for the men now? We have to say to men, yes, you need to reduce your fertility rate down to only having one or two children. Not 10 and 12 and 15. And they have to take you to court in order to get a few dollars.
So, Doc, you gotta make this a point to come back regularly. Let's have these man talk sessions and what have you. We're plumb out of time. But any final words to the folks, just so they could be aware of what next?
No, well, all I tell them is please join us on Thursday. And when we have our program, once we get our approval from the University of the Bahamas, we will be announcing that, and we're looking as many will join us in our program. We intend to have this throughout the year, so we can have men who want to educate themselves about the issues that are surrounding our men, that they would be able to enlighten themselves, and they will be able to engage this big challenge that we have for men to better our society.
Dr. Robin Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, so glad you could join us here today, sir. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. Have a great evening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
Good day. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Brother Jonathan.
Record with Shivago Line is brought to you by Bahamas Customs, Burger King, Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.